Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. And while you're at it, make sure you enable notifications so they let you know every time a new episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast goes live, like right now, where we are broadcasting live straight to you. While you're at it, if you are sick and tired of dropping $60 to $100 for the latest and greatest wrestling video game, stop immediately. Go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. Create your wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available totally free to Facebook users. So, if you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family, you want your name in the shout-outs like our buddy Mike over in Hatfield, then go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast and sign up today. Don't forget loyalty rewards. Anyone who contributes $15 a month gets to co-host an episode of Going Live with me, and our $7.50 a month contributors, you get entered into a drawing to also co-host an episode of Going Live. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Going Live, one of our live episodes of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. We'll be taking your questions, your comments, anything you'd like to get into the show. Make sure you enable the chat function of whatever streaming service you're using to get your comments into the live show. If you have a question you think of after we go off the air, or you're just a little shy, go to the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line at 267-642-1160, where you can give us your questions, your comments, anything you'd like to bring up in a talk-to-text service. That's right, you talk, it texts it to us, and we will try to get to as many of those in one of our future episodes. Don't forget, if you're new to the Fro Wrestling Podcast, head over to our homepage at www.frowrestling.com to preview any of the topics coming to the Fro Wrestling Podcast. Also, if you are into the independent wrestling scene, we here at the Fro Wrestling Podcast love to support indie wrestling. Make sure you check out our indie events tab at the top of frowrestling.com, where you can find all sorts of smaller independent promotions in your local area, where you could check out some of the best action in the world. I'm a huge advocate for independent wrestling. Check that out and see if there's anything there you are close to, so you could get a much more personal feel at your wrestling experience. So tonight, lots of things to talk about. It's been a little bit since we've been able to put up a live episode with you guys. Hopefully some of you guys come onto the chat line, give us your questions. If you do, make sure you give me your name so I can give you credit when I give you your shout out. But in the news this week, first off, major breaking news today was a huge return to WWE at WWE Starrcade tonight. There was a situation where everybody was wondering what was going to happen with Braun Strowman. You know that on Raw, they did the angle where he gets beat up, roughed up by everybody under the sun, and he's actually out with a legitimate elbow injury and is going to get surgery. So tonight, he was supposed to appear at Starrcade to take on Baron Corbin. That did not happen. However, Baron Corbin came to the ring for Starrcade. He issues an open challenge that is answered by the returning Bray Wyatt, which I think is a fantastic substitute for Braun Strowman, who could instantly get over with the fans and really create an organic response from the people. You don't want to hand feed them something horrible, some last minute rush thing. Bray Wyatt being off TV, though a lot of fans have missed his presence on the show, this may be a good thing because it made it so it meant something, him coming back. This isn't some simple tag team thing with Matt Hardy. This isn't some other less significant contribution. This is a major role. Baron Corbin and the role that he plays on Raw is one of the main storylines. Getting Bray Wyatt into a major storyline would be incredibly helpful. The potential for the return of the Wyatt family is also huge to me. Now, I know that Luke Harper is out with an injury, Eric Rowan out with an injury, but what better way to create a faction that we are familiar with, we've seen before, but in the time it's been since the last time they were together, a lot has transpired between Bray winning a championship and having that great feud with Randy Orton that was bizarre at WrestleMania a couple years ago, to Braun Strowman organically becoming this monster among men beast character that has taken over the WWE, and, you know, all points in between. Bludgeon Brothers being, you know, repackaged and whatnot. So it would be interesting to see how they would handle a Wyatt family reunion, especially considering the namesake, Bray Wyatt, may not be the biggest star in the faction any longer, courtesy of Braun Strowman getting over so well with the fans. So I'd be curious to see how they'd handle that. But the good news is Bray Wyatt returning to WWE tonight, and not only does he return, he defeats Baron Corbin with a schoolboy relatively quickly. Baron Corbin calls for some cronies to come from the back. He wants a rematch, no disqualification deal, and Bray Wyatt has some help come from the back as well, and he ends up defeating him a second time within like 5 minutes. So very cool stuff for WWE Starrcade. Hopefully everybody is on the network right now while they're listening to the Pro Wrestling Podcast, checking out Starrcade, their 1 hour special. Actually, it may have just gone off the air now that I said that. I see John the Sports Guy is tuning in from Alpine, Texas. John, always thrilled to see you. We missed you, buddy. We're glad to see you back with the Pro Wrestling Podcast. We love John. John's one of our favorite listeners. Good guy. Got to hang with him quite a few times at those Triple WA shows at the Quakertown Farmers Market and at Zern's Farmers Market. Hopefully one of these days he gets back up to Pennsylvania and I can hang with that guy one more time. But good to see you tonight, John. Great hearing from you. Other topics tonight. There's a new WWE Performance Center being talked about for Germany. The WWE would want to work with the WXW promotion over there and really create another performance center opportunity. And that would be huge for them because the European market, yes, they have produced some amazing talents that have done very well for WWE, but they really are a hotbed for emerging stars. There's many of them that really, you know, you may be familiar with the names or maybe you see them on an indie show here or there, but there are some that really could be top flight, top tier attractions for WWE. I know the big announcement in regards to the European brand of sorts is that WWE UK has their first show coming. They're going to do a NXT TakeOver event coming from Blackpool. And that's going to be in January. That's going to be huge. You know, everybody has been wondering when they were going to really put some emphasis behind this UK brand. Well, the answer has come and the answer is now. The UK brand is going to be huge. And this UK event is already garnering some major attention. The talents are very excited about the opportunity. And I'm excited because the main event of the show will see Pete Dunne defend the United Kingdom Championship against Joe Coffey, who is an incredible European talent and somebody who I think may be the man to dethrone Pete Dunne to finally see somebody get that championship. And it's hard for me to say that because I love Pete Dunne as champion, but you know, at some point the title has to move around or it loses some of its relevance. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. Another one of the big topics this week is that they're talking about the WrestleMania 35 main event. And the main event for Mania has been all over the place since the announcement that Roman Reigns had leukemia and was going to be away. Obviously, he is not going to be able to be in the main event. So now the question became, who's going to be the next one in line? And I know the initial thought was, well, Brock Lesnar will defend against Braun Strowman. Well, that's not going to happen because they're going to wrestle at the Royal Rumble to do away with that feud, move Braun Strowman away from the championship picture to create an opportunity for somebody else. And now the word going around is that somebody else has been at least theorized by the creative team, and that person would be Seth Rollins. Long overdue, Seth Rollins playing off of the Roman Reigns leukemia angle, which I'm not a huge fan of because I don't like cheap excitement. I like organic stuff, but I think Seth Rollins has been long overdue for a match with Brock Lesnar on the grandest stage to begin with. When he stole the Universal Championship, I shouldn't say stole, it was a completely legal based on how you cash in a Money in a Bank, but since that moment where he took the World Championship from Brock Lesnar during that three-way that what turned into a three-way at WrestleMania, there's never been a one-on-one match between Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar, and I would love to see what they could do together. We've gotten to see the amazing match at the Survivor Series with Daniel Bryan. We've seen Brock Lesnar in the ring with AJ Styles. We've seen him with all these big behemoths, but he's obviously, and I know some people think I'm crazy here, but it looks to me like Brock Lesnar has the ability to put on a good match no matter how big his opponent is. Seth Rollins has a little more size to him than a Daniel Bryan, and he has some athleticism that I think would really match well with Brock Lesnar, and I'm very excited if they decide to go that direction. I think that would be a fantastic opportunity. Now, they're talking about, you know, opportunities. Ring of Honor better be careful because there's superstars in Ring of Honor who are looking for an opportunity. And several of them, people have been talking for months about some of them potentially leaving the company. We know that Cody Rhodes, Hangman Page, Marty Scurll, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, all their contracts coming due at the same time. And we also know that Jay Lethal re-upped his contract with him, as did Flip Gordon. But another superstar potentially leaving is Silas Young, who may not seem like a major player, but he really is. He is because he's a throwback to that old school, like Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard style wrestler, something that WWE would really love to capitalize on. And I think Ring of Honor needs to be careful. I almost feel like they think that they can grow these talents on trees sometimes because the indie scene is so competitive right now. But the reality is, with WWE scooping up talent and with the conversation, the possibility, the potential of a new company emerging in the United States, this could be a bad time for Ring of Honor to let their guard down and let certain talents leave. There is an Impact Wrestling star headed to WWE or potentially New Japan. That would be Trevor Lee. There's been conversation he was going to be in the Performance Center in January, their next class. His contract with Impact has expired. He was written off television in some of their episodes. And he's a good get for their cruiserweight division and for the NXT brand. But hopefully, I actually would like to see him in New Japan. I think WWE, I understand their talent acquisition mode. They're getting rid of some of the competition by grabbing everybody and then, you know, trying to showcase what they can and kind of putting a mute button on everybody they can't. But it's not good for the business not to see these guys. I'll be honest with you. When Crazy Steve left Impact Wrestling a year and a half ago, I really was excited to hear that he was going to try to go to WWE, but then that didn't happen. And Trevor Lee is another one. I don't want to see him disappear and not be on a televised exposed product. I think he's a good talent. And there's been some strange stuff going on with Impact. A lot of their stars showing up in Evolve events and things of that nature. We're going to get to some of that a little bit later, but I don't want to see Impact start having the same situation Ring of Honor's having where people are going to leave and immediately jump to WWE or another promotion. I think Impact has really been building some momentum. They have a decent product out there now, and they really need to foster that. They have an opportunity here. No one's ever going to overtake WWE. Let's get that out of the way. But there is a great competition for who could be second or who could be third and how lucrative those companies can be in the long term with proper planning and booking. So hopefully Impact doesn't continue to lose stars or Ring of Honor for that matter. When it comes to Impact Wrestling, though, the other topic to discuss, the deal with Pop TV has just gotten uglier and uglier by the day. They are no longer at their 8 o'clock time slot. They're at the 10 o'clock time slot. Their ratings are in the toilet. They have an extension through the beginning part of 2019, but they're looking for a new partner, a new channel to feature them. Access Television, my understanding, is not an option. So they need to find somebody willing to showcase their product. Now, here's the thing. They were drawing 300,000 people a week only a matter of 6-8 months ago. And now with the new time slot being at 10 p.m., they're lucky to get 100,000 people. That's not good. Now, it's still not terrible for the time slot that it's in. But when you think about comparatively where it was to where it is, that's a concern. And the worst part about it is Impact Wrestling's quality of product has been amazing lately. They've been putting on great matches, incredible talents, some unique opportunities, and they've been making new stars, something that every company needs to do. And we're at the cusp of potentially a huge problem for them if they can't find another network home. Hopefully they work that out sooner rather than later, but definitely a tense time for Impact Wrestling. Speaking of attention, Neville in the news this week, he actually came out and explained himself why he left WWE, and it really came down to two things. He only admits one, but it really comes down to two things. One, his stated purpose is that WWE creative had run out of things for him to do, so he left. That was his statement. And I get that. He really had done everything there was to do in the cruiserweight division. You know what the problem I have with that is, though? Is that WWE creative is that naive and that stupid sometimes that they don't see the value in moving Neville away from the cruiserweight division and making him a legitimate contender to the Universal or World Championship. Neville is every bit the size of a Finn Balor, a Daniel Bryan, and several other superstars. There's no reason he couldn't have been in a main event picture because of how over he was with the crowd. People loved his character. And WWE dropped the ball with him, and now he's over in Dragon Gate, which, look, I'm not knocking Dragon Gate, but it's not WWE. Think about the matches that he could have had with AJ Styles, with Daniel Bryan, with some of these other talents, with a Seth Rollins, if you really let the guy go out there and perform. And instead, no creativity behind his character, so he leaves. He did also emphasize that he doesn't particularly hate Enzo, which was a big conversation piece when he first left television, that he didn't like Enzo Amore. But he was very clear that, you know, he's a star. Enzo was a mid-carder at best, and he doesn't job to jobbers. I love that line. He actually said, "You shouldn't have me jobbing to jobbers." And I agree with him. Enzo was never worthy of the Cruiserweight Championship, yet. He may have gotten there. He was doing a great job of getting himself over with all his promos and whatnot, and I think he was on a good path, but he was just a butthead in the back. That's the reputation everybody talks about online. And look, I'm not telling you how I feel about the guy. I'm not telling you he's a bad guy. What I'm telling you is that's what's been reported by various media outlets. So, especially for those who tuned in to Survivor Series and saw Enzo during the tag team match standing up in the crowd doing his promo from WWE days and getting kicked out of the building, I find that humorous to me. Like, how far can this guy fall? Like, real one, you're not really anything if you don't have people who are interested in you. We turn the page. Survivor Series happened. He's jumping around acting like a fool. It was on Twitter for about 8 seconds and it was gone. Like, nobody cares anymore. I shouldn't even be giving him the airtime right now. You know, it's a shame because he had an opportunity to do something worthwhile in WWE and totally wasted it. What a shame. Update, as we started to say earlier, on a new wrestling promotion, All Elite Wrestling. The trademarks have been filed, and it is a very interesting time because this is being funded by the gentleman who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars in the National Football League. And the trademarks that have been registered is All Elite Wrestling, Double or Nothing, AEW Double or Nothing, AEW All Out, All Out, AEW, and Tuesday Night Dynamite, which, if you think about it, all of those trademarks really give you the idea that not only is there a promotion in place, but when they say Double or Nothing and All Out, you know, a lot of people are thinking that this could be where the All In 2 pay-per-view takes place. With all those contracts coming due, with people out there on the free agent market like a Chris Jericho, like Jim Ross's, whose contract is coming up soon, with Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, Marty Scurll, Hangman Page, all these guys that are out there, you could easily see a scenario where this guy could walk in, create a new company, and load it with megastars from day one. The situation with the trademarks, they're all registered to an address at TIAA Bank Field, which is in Jacksonville, Florida, where the Jaguars are located. So clearly there's a tie-in, and it'll be curious to see how long it takes to get this thing off the ground. But if you're pulling in essentially the Elite and any other major free agents in the business right now, you're looking to really make an impact, no pun intended, in the wrestling business, and could be a major player in short order, especially if it's promoted correctly. You know, there's guys out there, you could easily bring in a Joey Ryan, you could bring in Colt Cabana and some of these other guys and really create a roster that is not strange. You know, it's not like WWE when they started the revamped ECW and it was god-awful because there was a bunch of people either we didn't care about or squash matches with the ECW legends. This is something where you have contemporary, modern, some of the best wrestlers in the world who could show up on this show and really kick, you know, hit the ground running. In addition, the conversation about New Japan Pro Wrestling talents being frustrated with the current management and leadership there after the leadership change over the summer could lead to some of those stars potentially going there. That would be scary for New Japan. Notice how there's a theme tonight between Ring of Honor losing stars and Impact Wrestling losing stars and potentially New Japan. And here comes this new company looking to be the next Phoenix on the horizon and jump into the game. This could be a good thing for wrestling fans. Not such a good thing for all the other smaller promotions who are trying to keep pace with WWE. I'd be curious to see how that works. Speaking of Cody Rhodes, though, very cool that he was announced just today as the winner of the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Male Wrestler of the Year. I think it is overdue. I think he should have won it last year. I'm very happy to see that he won it this year. I'm a little surprised that Kenny Omega didn't win it this year. I really thought that's where they were going to go with it. But I'm okay with that. Or AJ Styles for holding the WWE Championship all year. But the fact that Cody got it is a good thing. He did announce a couple weeks ago that his final Ring of Honor appearance will be at Final Battle when he takes on Jay Lethal. It should be a great match. I expect him to lose that match and depart Ring of Honor with class and dignity and go on to do bigger and brighter things. Now, there's still a possibility that he and the Bucks and everybody else show up in WWE. I think the concern there would be I don't think have confidence that WWE will use them properly. Marty Scurll was in the news only earlier this week saying that he could easily see himself in WWE, that, you know, he'd be a liar if he didn't say that that was something he would be open to if the right situation came along. However, it's not a requirement to him anymore because of the great business that's out there in the independent scene. So we'll have to keep our eyes on all those guys. News in the world of New Japan also that I don't want to forget to mention, Wrestle Kingdom, their biggest pay-per-view event of the year, the equivalent of WrestleMania here in the United States, is going to be available same day on Access Television. Not the full show, about a two-hour block. I anticipate they'll probably put some of their best matches from the show on it live or something of that nature or same day, whatever. New announcing team, Don Callis, is going to be doing commentary. Jim Ross not going to be there for commentary because he is moving over to finish out his contract with WWE. I'm kind of curious to see if he re-ups with WWE. I don't think he wants to. I think he would like to be doing the Access Television stuff, but we'll have to wait and see how that works out. Kevin Kelly, the other half of the announce team for Wrestle Kingdom. But if you have never watched New Japan Pro Wrestling, keep your eyes out first week of January for that. It's going to be amazing. We're going to see a unique opportunity at Evolve 117, WWE versus Impact Wrestling, a match advertised to Street Profits, who are from NXT, who the current Evolve Tag Team Champions, taking on LAX, who are in Impact Wrestling and contending for their Tag Team Championship. Very strange the way that comes together, but I'm anxious to see it, and I hope that this is kind of like an olive branch to between WWE and other promotions to maybe allow some of their talents to co-promote. This is a great way to do it without tooting the horn of either brand, so nobody's offended. Hey, you know, I put my Impact Wrestling guy got beat by your WWE guy on a WWE show. We don't want that, but here at Evolve, it doesn't really matter who goes over. It really doesn't. Neither one of them represents that particular company, so curious to see how that works out. I do want to say, before we go tonight, I want to send a get well to Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Jim Duggan spent the better part of the last week in the hospital in the intensive care unit. Little health scare, and for anybody who's a diehard wrestling fan, especially people my age, back in the 80s, into the 90s, you loved Hacksaw Jim Duggan, whether it's all the way back to his Mid-South days, into the early UWF days, WWE, getting a 2x4, feuding with Andre the Giant, winning the first Royal Rumble, into WCW, where he becomes the last world television champion, finding the championship belt in a trash can. Whatever it was, Hacksaw Jim Duggan has always been a quality performer, somebody who I think was severely underrated and really had a lot of contributions to the business. I hope he goes into the Hall of Fame one day, but in the meantime, we have to give him some well wishes because he is not doing so well right now. Jim Duggan, feel better, buddy. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next episode. We'll run down the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks, as always, out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all the music and sound effects we use in our shows. Today's podcast was sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this game from Beazle Games by going to frowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the page. And to alleyrepair.com, contact Alley Repair today for servicing of all your classic skee-ball, pinball, your arcade game needs. If you're looking for your next career move, maybe you're considering college, university life, or you just need some formal training for your next career decision, go to our sister website at frolifeplanning.com for all your higher education needs, as Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today. And if you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, go to www.tsj101sports.com for their articles, or go to my blog at Infro's Corner, right located right on frowrestling.com. Until next time, everybody, take care, have a great night, and don't forget to check out that Indie Events tab on Fro Wrestling and see some amazing indie action near you. Take care. Have a good night, everybody.